The Holy Gospel according to John in the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. And when they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It begins in the fog of early morning, just like Easter. The kind of light that doesn't reveal much yet. And there are seven men out on the water, nets dragging behind them, silent, tired, and more than a little lost. Not lost geographically, mind you. No, they know these waters well. But lost in the way people get after grief, after failure, after disillusionment. And when you've seen the world crack open and you're not sure what to do next, sometimes you just go back to what you used to know. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others follow. It sounds harmless, even practical. But beneath these words lives something deeper. He's not just talking about catching fish. Peter's talking about returning to the only life he understood before Jesus called him away from it. Before his denial, before the rooster, before the cross. And so they fish all night, and they catch nothing. It's a quiet image, one that echoes in our souls to try and try and still come up empty. And the gospel doesn't dress it up, it names it plainly. That night they caught nothing. Sometimes scripture names our exhaustion more honestly than we do. And then as dawn breaks, a voice from the shore, "Children, do you have any fish?" It sounds playful, but it cuts. Not friends, not disciples. Children. As if to say, "I see your weariness. I see your ache for something safe. I'm not judging you. I'm just naming it." And they answer honestly, "No. No fish, no direction, no idea what comes next." And then the voice again, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat." And for whatever reason, maybe desperation, maybe memory, they do. And the net strains, the boat lurches, and suddenly what was empty is full. 153 fish, more than they need, more than they had imagined. And that's when it clicks. The beloved disciple leans towards Peter. "It's the Lord." And Peter doesn't wait. He throws on his clothes, something I've never totally understood about this passage, and dives into the sea. It's the Peter that we know, impulsive, emotional, wholehearted. He doesn't swim, he charges. Because maybe, just maybe, this is a new beginning, not an ending. And when they reach the shore, they find Jesus. Not waiting with judgment, but with breakfast. A charcoal fire, bread, fish already cooking. The table set by the hands of the resurrected Christ. No lightning, no thunder, just warmth and smell and hunger and grace. And the charcoal fire, it matters. Because there was only one other charcoal fire in John's gospel. It burned in the courtyard where Peter denied Jesus three times. Same fire, same glow, same heat. But now instead of betrayal, this fire burns for communion, for restoration. After breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter. Well, not Peter, but Simon, son of John. His name before the promise, before the bravado, before the declarations of undying loyalty. Jesus is rewinding the tape back to where it all began. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's a piercing question. Not do you believe in me, not do you feel sorry, but do you love me? Because love, that's what failure puts into question. That's what guilt eats away at. And Jesus knows Peter's heart needs more than absolution. It needs a new foundation. Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But he doesn't use Jesus' word. Jesus asks about agape love, self-giving, unconditional. And Peter replies with philia, which means affectionate, brotherly love. He's not ready to claim more. Maybe he doesn't trust himself to make big promises anymore. Maybe he still hears the rooster. Maybe he still carries shame. But Jesus meets him there. He doesn't correct the word. He just says, "Feed my lambs." He gives Peter a task, a calling, a way to turn love into action. And again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. And then a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But this time, Jesus switches his word. He uses filio, Peter's word. He comes down to Peter's level. He speaks the language Peter can speak. And Peter, he's grieved. Not because Jesus doubts him, but because the memory of the third denial lives deep in his bones. And in this third asking, Jesus is not punishing, he's healing. Three denials, three affirmations, three commissions. Feed my sheep. This is not just forgiveness. This is recommissioning. Jesus is giving Peter his life back, not as it was before, but as it will be now, refined by failure, rooted in grace. And then Jesus adds one more thing. He tells Peter, one day you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will lead you where you do not want to go. A foreshadowing of Peter's own crucifixion. Jesus does not promise an easy life. He promises a faithful one. And that too is grace. Not the removal of suffering, but the presence of meaning within it. And then Peter turns. And he sees John, the beloved disciple. And he asks what we all ask when the weight of our own calling starts to sink in. What about him? And Jesus, in the most Jesus of ways, says, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You, follow me. And there it is, the heart of discipleship. Not keep up, not do it perfectly, not be like them, but simply, you, follow me. So much of our spiritual anxiety comes from comparison. Am I doing enough, measuring up, getting it right? But Jesus, he redirects our gaze again and again back to himself. Don't worry about the path I wrote for someone else. Follow me. Because this moment between Peter and Jesus, it's not just a touching reunion. It's the pattern of Christian life, of discipleship. We fail. We return to old habits. We fish all night and catch nothing. And then grace comes to us. Not always in visions or mountaintops, but in the smallness of breakfast, the smell of bread, the sound of a name spoken with love. Peter's restoration, it's not about erasing the past, it's about redeeming it. Jesus doesn't ignore the denial. He brings Peter gently back to it, tenderly, so that Peter can walk through it and come out the other side. And this is the way of resurrection. Not just a canceled death, but a transformed life. A life that says even your lowest moments can be touched by glory. Even your greatest failures can become the doorway to deeper love. Maybe you've been fishing all night and caught nothing. Maybe your nets are empty. Your energy low, your heart heavy. Maybe you've returned to something familiar, not because it fills you, but because you don't know what else to do. And if that's you, pay attention to the shore. Because grace might be standing there asking if you're hungry. Not just for food, but for wholeness, for restoration, for a love that names you not just in your strength, but in your weaknesses too. Jesus doesn't wait for us to get it together. He comes with breakfast already cooking, with bread already broken, with a question that breaks us open and binds us back together. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Because that's what love looks like in the resurrection. Not just a feeling, but a calling. Not just a healing, but a sending. And somewhere in the smoke of that fire, in the voice of the one who calls us by name, we realize what Peter did. It's the Lord. Amen.